I don't. Are they different? I have no idea what that. What is a roguelite and roguelite?
Okay, so they're very similar, and like a lot of video games, genres are named after the first game that kind of pioneered the genre, which was called Rogue. And so these are games that are procedurally generated levels, and then every time you die or fail, you start from the very beginning of the game and are trying to progress through typically a shorter story.
So is that like or
So
like?
that is Rogue. The difference becomes on how closely they follow into the category of Rogue. Rogue-like follows the Rogue, where you start over with nothing. Rogue-lite. It's kind of like, Diet Coke, a light soft drink. It
Oh.
is very similar, but roguelites have upgrades that persist throughout every run. So you can slowly be more powerful at the start of the run, where if you just start the game, you might not have health or different areas that you could heal as many times. In a roguelike game, every time you start is exactly the same. There's no in-between run progression.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I have no idea. I just knew that that was essentially what people would say, roguelike, but I never knew if there was a diff or I never knew which one was the right way to say it, or if they were even different.
So they're both could be right, depending on the game.
Well, we understand a lot more about why they call it that now. But here we are. Welcome to NDQ. This is our third week that we have been going through different games and then ranking them on your queue that we think that you should be playing them in. The top of the line are the things that we think are the most important for you to play or the best games for you to play to spend your time on. And then lower down are things that we think are not quite as important or good for you to spend your time on.
And it's definitive. If you don't like our ranking, you're wrong.
Yep,
So.
this is the perfect ranking and there is nothing wrong with it. That being said, Paul, well, we never said who we are.
I'm Paul Hicks.
And I'm Brad. And yes, we're brothers. We've talked about that before. Anyways, today we are going to be talking about the roguelite game called Dead Cells.
Correct. So Dead Cells, like we said, is a procedurally generated game. You're progressing through each level. The themes are consistent on each level, but the enemy placements and the layout of the level change run to run. And like I said, it is a rogue light, and so you have some permanent upgrades that you can be getting throughout the game. So Brad, what are some of the upgrades that you can get in Dead Cells?
As you're going through a game of Dead Cells, you are going to be accumulating different weapons. So you're fighting different enemies and you're trying to escape something, this place that you're in. Depending on when you got the game, there might be a lot more story than there was when it first came out. I recently just replayed the game from a new save file, and there's like so much more backstory that I was not expecting because when the first time I played through it wasn't there. But some of the permanent or some of those upgrades that you can get are allowing you to explore different areas that are off limits to you. So like climbing up a wall or being able to make a vine grow out of the ground so you can climb to an area that's much higher or smashing into the ground and being able to open up an area below you. So there's a number of things that you can upgrade. That you'll find throughout the game. And as you're going through each area, you will be encountering a different bosses. After you finish a level, there's usually one or two levels and then a boss fight, and then one or two levels and a boss fight, and then you get to the final boss. So that's kind of the general flow of the game as you're going through each level, finishing it, and then trying to make it to the very top.
And a big component of Dead Cells is the collecting of cells, which similar to like Dark Souls, the cells are the currency, one of the currencies of the game. And cells are one of the ways you're going to be buying some different permanent upgrades. The ones Brad listed before are natively found in each level, and once you find it, you have it. But throughout the game, there are different weapon blueprints that you're going to be finding. There are going to be different abilities that you can spend your cells on in between levels to permanently unlock into rotation. So weapons would then allow a random chance for that weapon to show up in future runs. And then there are other upgrades such as healing flasks, the number of times you can heal throughout a level, upgraded rarity of weapons that you're going to find. And so those are different ways to spend the cells that you collect during a run. And if you ever die without finishing level, those cells, just you lose them.
Yeah, if you haven't spent them, then they'll go away. But like we were saying, those are like the permanent upgrades. So the things that are based on cells or those things that you find in the game that are just permanently upgrading your character, those things are your permanent upgrades. Then there are also upgrades in the game that are... you're improving your weapons. You're improving your abilities that each round...
reset.
Each reset, each time you have died and start a new game, you start with all of your different abilities at the lowest level, and you can like upgrade them, like you're upgrading your stats.
So there are three different tiers of upgrade abilities. We have...
well, not tiers, three different... different directions, kind of branching paths.
Yes.
Different branches.
There are the brutality, which is red. There's tactics, which is purple. And there is survival, which is green. And they each have different perks and different weapons that they upgrade.
Yes. So each weapon or each thing that you're going to be fighting with will be one of those colors. Sometimes it'll be two of those colors. That depending on which one is higher, it will impact your weapon. But as you are upgrading, let's say you're going down the red path and you have a weapon that is a red weapon. As you upgrade the red path, your red weapons will all increase in damage and they will essentially become better. If you had a purple weapon and you were upgrading the red path, it would do nothing to the damage output of your purple weapons, for example. Before we get into too deep of everything that's going on in the game, I want to pull us back and ask you, Paul, when was the first time that you experienced Dead Cells, and what was your experience like?
So I'm pretty sure I'm the first one in like our family and group who started playing Dead Cells. I'm pretty sure I saw it in some YouTube video just talking about different indie games, thought it sounded interesting, and I got it on my PlayStation 4. And I played the crap out of it. It was relatively new when I started playing it. And so you had mentioned that there's more story. I did replay it some for this episode, but did not get super deep into the story. And I
wouldn't really call it a story. It's just there are more characters and they talk to you more. And it's kind of saying at the very beginning of the game, it tells you, you are dead, but you keep coming back to life and like, oh, and this is your goal. It kind of gives you more of a direction. Whereas when I first played the game, and I think when you first played the game, you're just there and you are going and you don't know what's going on and you're just fighting.
Yes. So that was my exposure was an earlier game. It did not, you know, have a clear direction. I still really enjoyed it. I had no clue what the heck was going on. But it has a really rewarding game loop, that really makes you like, I gotta try it one more time. Yeah. I'm not gonna mess up on this spot again. And so I remember playing it quite a lot, and I don't think I ever, in my original playthrough, beat the final boss. I would get to him multiple times and just get my butt handed to me.
Yes.
What was your first experience?
The first time I ever saw Dead Cells was actually at our brother David's bachelor party. You and David were both playing, and I just briefly saw you playing it, and I was like, yeah, I'm not really that interested in that game. But I wasn't like paying attention. We were doing other things at the time. Must have been that next year, I was watching a YouTube video, and they were talking about Dead Cells. It wasn't about Dead Cells, but it was just like briefly offhandedly mentioned Dead Cells in one of the levels, one of the specific levels, the Slumbering Sanctuary, where you can push this button and all these other things come to life. And they presented it as like this interesting like dichotomy. Do I make all of the the enemies spawn and then I get more loot, or do I just not touch that thing and not have to worry about it? So that was why I wanted to start playing the game. I actually lived in Korea at the time, and just like you, I played the pants off of Dead Cells. And I was like wanting to talk to you guys because I knew you had played it before. I was like, oh, like how many times had you beaten the game? And you and David were both like, either we've never beaten the game or I beat it one time. And when I played it, I think there must have been an update because I had beaten the game multiple times. And so anyways, that was my first introduction to Dead Cells.
Yes, I remember at the time I was playing, reading some stuff online where people were complaining about difficulty scaling and how there were only a few viable paths. And one of the most controversial points at the time, which I'm pretty sure has been fixed, was the more upgrades that you got, enemies scaled to be harder. So there was a point where the strategy presented was you want to get 6 upgrades and no more.
Really?
Because the degree of difficulty spike increase for having those more upgrades was not worth the level up that you got.
That's wild.
And green, the survival, was completely unviable. Like, you could not have a run. There's no good... I mean, green is typically the shields and some of the heavy weapons. And it was just like... At that time, it was only shields, and the parry was so weak, and so it wasn't pixel or frame perfect, but it was a very tight window that was almost impossible to parry. So the only reason you'd ever would take it was for a bigger health increase.
Yes. So of the three, we're going to talk about this in the three different colors. Again, brutality is red, tactics is purple, and survival is green. I'm just going to call them by their colors because knowing the name of it isn't that important. But of those three, as you've played it more recently, which one of those colors do you gravitate toward?
At the time I first played and my most recent playthrough, I am purple through and through, which is bows, and then there's some special abilities that you put some turrets out for a certain period of time. And that is my... there's some of close-range bows, but I prefer the more methodical, slow-paced game. And so purple was always my color of choice. What about you?
When I first started playing the game, purple seemed easier because you could stay far away from the action. And when you're going through the big maze levels, I feel like that's 100% true. You can very slowly chip away at different... monsters and then like be far away, and then he comes into your area and you shoot him, and then you go back in and kind of lure one guy out kind of thing. But I noticed as I was playing more that being on the going down the purple path was way more difficult on the bosses, and so I started trying to branch out a little bit, and so I did a lot of green runs and I did a lot of red runs, when I started doing green runs is when I started beating the game a lot more. And so they had introduced a couple new weapons and stuff that were green and that were really good. They're a lot slower, but they did a lot of damage. But as of right now, so like that was kind of like the progression. But right now I'm like, I love going down the red path. That is my favorite path. I barely go down the other two paths. And I pretty much only pick purple or green when you upgrade, it doesn't give you the option of upgrading the red one. It makes you upgrade one of the other ones. So, that's because I love doing rushing down and being right up in people's face in the melee attacks.
So one thing that was added between my first play of the game and my current play of the game, I think really helps teach the fact that, hey, purple, slow, methodical is viable, but it might not be the best way to play. When I first started playing, it was just, I went through every level, I killed every single enemy, took as much time as I needed, went slow and methodical. They introduced basically a in-game speed run where there are certain doors that you can unlock in between levels that will have extra loot for you if you beat them in certain time frames. And that is a very intriguing, like, hey, I took it methodically, I feel like I'm missing out. Mm. And I feel like the design of that does a really good job of saying, hey, you like this play style, why don't you try this other one and get this door unlocked? They still have a second door that you can unlock for killing a certain number of enemies without taking damage, which I feel like would pull the people who are gung-ho just in their play style of playing Red to be like, hey, I keep getting these doors for the time, but I have never been able to not take damage that long in a run. I think it does a really good job of enticing players to try different play styles and see which one, you know, I feel like people just naturally have a type of play style that they're drawn to, and people will just fall back on what's comfortable, even if it is not necessarily what's best for the game. So I feel like having those options to entice you to try something different is really good for players. Because I feel like a lot of times we will take the fun right out of a game to do what's comfortable.
Yeah, I never thought about the fact that those different, essentially, rewards would go on both ends of that spectrum. Whenever I'm playing, I'm gunning for both because I'm doing the rushdown mode, but I'm also like trying to dodge. And whenever I do,
ideally, that's what you're going for. That's perfect play. Is getting you both. Are fast and you don't take damage.
So one of the things that I think the update to the game that really enhanced the game is what they call different boss stem cells. So at the very beginning of the game, you're fighting on the lowest level of difficulty, and you are going to be on that level of difficulty until you potentially beat the entire run. You beat the final boss, and once you have defeated the final boss, it gives you the opportunity to increase the difficulty level, which unlocks some other things as well. So if you increase the difficulty level, you can upgrade more things. You're going to get more more cells during each run, and those permanent upgrades, some of them are essentially behind the wall of you need to be playing at least at level 3 or 4 in order to actually upgrade this area of something. Which to me, as someone who wants to keep kind of going in the game, it really entices me to be like playing at the higher level of a difficulty, even though I probably won't be able to beat the game because I will be able to upgrade things that will help me in the future.
Yes, I think it does a good job of increasing the longevity of a game. It's a really well-designed game, but a run in itself, I feel like if you take it slow methodically, would take anywhere between 45 minutes and an hour. Whereas if you're speeding through it, it can be anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. And so it's not a huge time commitment to a game that a lot of times you're like, okay, I beat this. Okay, now I'm just done. Mm-hmm. Where this gives you an incentive of like, okay, you beat this run. The loop is still addictive, but let's give you some more challenge and more things to go for. And yes. I think that does a really good job of not getting to become complacent and just being like, I saw what this game has to offer. I beat it. I'm going to put it down. But, oh, there's more and there's a bigger challenge for me to complete. What was the highest level, and you're way more into it than I have been, of boss stems that you were ever able to finish?
So I've beat the game at four boss stems. So which is technically called Nightmare. That's the level of difficulty that it is. And it is very difficult. So something else that is introduced when you are on higher levels is there are more things, like more areas open to you that aren't even available to you on the first levels, that you can go into these doors throughout the level that are locked unless you're at a certain
boss stem level.
But yeah, I beat the fourth level. They've added a lot of things to this game. So I had played it a bunch a couple years ago, and then maybe a couple months ago, I was just like, you know what? I want to play Dead Cells again. And it pulled me right back in immediately. That's one of the best parts about Dead Cells is that if you are gone for a long period of time, coming back is not difficult. Coming back into it and playing again, it's not, it maybe isn't something that's always calling your name, but when it is calling your name, it's like, oh, I can spend 45 minutes, have a great run, have a good time, and not have to play it again or maybe you just want to play a bunch of it.
Yeah, I think the fact that the story is kind of sporadic, really benefits that I know a lot, some games you're playing where if you set it down, you're like, where the heck is the story? Where am I at? How do I progress? What was the next thing I was supposed to do? Where this is a very, like, run in this straight line and you'll get a salt and peppering of story as you go about.
I would even, like, I kind of mentioned that the most recent version of the game has more story elements. I think that's very generous to say that it has any story elements at all. Most of the story is implied story. For example, you are getting little tidbits of something that's going on in the background that you don't really understand, but it doesn't, like, explicitly tell you what's happening, other than the fact that this whole island that you're on is kind of like going to shambles, and you are running through the island to try and do, I don't know. Like, you're just fighting. You're just going and fighting. So saying that it has a story, I would say it really doesn't have a story other than, like, what you've make of it. I was like, I'm trying to escape, but I don't know why I'm trying to escape from or to or anything like that. One of the aspects of the game that was very confusing to me was the first time that I actually beat the whole game. Or beat the whole run up. And, like, it wasn't like you escaped. It was like all of a sudden you turned into this little sludge ball and, like, went back to the very first level. And I didn't understand what was going on, because you had to, like, go into this, like, plumbing that wasn't very, like, clearly stated.
I remember being extremely confused. I'm like, what do I even do? I beat the final boss. I'm here. Where do I go? I had to look it up.
I did too.
which I think is a downside to the fact that that was not clear. Like,
I will say it is more clear when you run through it. So for this episode, I decided I've been playing this game a lot. I'm really far in all the permanent upgrades and progressions and stuff like that. I wonder what it would be like to start back at stage zero. Even, but I had all this knowledge of how to play, but, like, I have no upgrades. I have none of the weapons. I have nothing. And so I started a new save file and played through it. I'm like, I wonder if, and I actually was able to beat the final boss on my first run through of the new save file, which I was pretty proud of. But it is way better at telling you, like, hey, this is how you're supposed to get back to the first level. It still doesn't give you any reasons, like, why you're going back there, but it does show you how to do it, which is a good thing.
So I think it's time to pit Dead Cells. Ooh,
before we pit it against the other two things on the ranking. One of the things about this game that stuck out to me, it was not even from my own interpretation of the game, but I've been playing this game in my living room, and my wife will just be sitting there doing her own thing. And on multiple occasions, she has said, "This soundtrack is so good." And I was like, huh, I guess it is kind of good. But it made me realize how little I think about soundtracks when it comes to video games. I'm sure that if there was a game that had, like, awful, awful soundtrack that made me, like, want to cringe or, like, scratch my, it's like fingers on the chalkboard, that it would bother me and I probably wouldn't want to play the game. But I think almost my expectation is that the soundtrack is going to be good when I'm playing a game.
I would agree. I don't notice soundtracks. Like, they create ambiance, and I feel like I probably do subconsciously, but if you ask me, hey, name your top soundtracks for games, I could probably only ever give you one, maybe. That would be, like, a soundtrack that has any impact on me whatsoever.
Can I guess which game it is that would have an impact on you?
I'll let you guess. I'd be very surprised if you get this correct.
This Sonic R for the PC.
Now that you mention it, that is a soundtrack that does have an impact on me. That was not the one I was thinking of.
Okay, what were you thinking of?
The one I was thinking of was Outer Wilds.
Okay.
But Sonic R has a poppin' soundtrack. Like, part of that, I remember it, is probably because it is literally songs that people are singing. And lyrics, I feel like, stick in my head a lot better than... Mm-hmm. Just ambient noise or orchestra, yeah. Music.
So, that being said, after I started thinking about the soundtrack, I'm like, yeah, this is, like, a very exciting, fun soundtrack. And Grace, my wife, always talks about the fact that, like, oh, I literally turned it on today, and she's like, oh, I love this soundtrack. It's something that sticks with her. And now that she has pointed it out, I'm like, oh, yes, I really think that the soundtrack is really, really good in this game. Something else that I have watched about this game is in the development. The developers want to give you as much leeway as possible. For example, if you, like, run off a ledge, and they give you so much extra time to make a jump off of that ledge just to make it feel like the game is extra fair to you. And I think that that is a really awesome thing that they do in this game, where they, the things that, the buttons that you push, the things that you do, I've never once, like, pushed a button and been like, that's not what I was trying to do. Like, that is, it's very responsive, and I never feel like the game is unfair to me.
It's almost the opposite of it's, too generous. Sometimes it's a bit extra generous, but then the game can be brutally hard. So having some extra generosity here and there
for a game like this, I think where you can increase the level of difficulty, being extra generous on button inputs to me is like a no-brainer. And I think that more games should lean in that direction rather than the other direction, which is like being more like hard-nosed. Oh, you did. You were off the ledge. You can't jump here.
I think it depends on the genre and what the game's feel is going for. For the intent of this game and the feel that it gives, I think it's perfectly justified in the choices that it made. And I'm glad that they did, because I still struggled with the difficulty of even the lower level difficulties of this game. And so, without the generosity in those inputs, I think I would not have endured as much of the difficulty.
Yes. So, yeah, again, this is not a story-driven game. It's much more a mechanically driven game, which Paul has already mentioned is not usually his big cup of tea. He likes the story aspects of games, and so this one doesn't have a ton of story, but I think that the actual gameplay is very well-crafted.
I feel like it provides a strong feel.
Yes.
More so than a narrative that you're following. I feel like roguelikes and roguelites in general just have this sense of, I was so close, urging you on. And the limited story that is presented mirrors that really well.
Yeah. So, obviously, I really love this game. I've played a lot of it. I've gotten quite far in the progression of your permanent upgrades and things like that. And I definitely have my favorites when it comes to different weapons and loadouts and the cohesion that you see with it, with your different weapons and stuff like that. So I play the game quite a bit.
I think it's time that we compare and figure out its placement on the queue.
I think that's a great idea. So, just to remind everybody, right now our queue is two games long. It's about to be three. Number one right now is Celeste, and number two is Tunic. So I think we should start at the bottom, compare it with Tunic, and see if it passes Tunic, and if it does, we'll compare it to Celeste.
Okay. How would you compare the gameplay loop of Tunic versus the gameplay loop of Dead Cells?
So the loop in Tunic is more based off of your save points, each individual save point. To me, Tunic feels more like a grind in terms of like, oh, I just gotta try a little harder to get this one thing. I'm aiming at this one area that I need to fix. Whereas Dead Cells, because it is a rogue light. I'm learning. Because it is a rogue light, each run is different. So it's not like you're focused on a specific thing. To me, I'm way more drawn towards the loop in Dead Cells. I'm way more motivated to play Dead Cells. I want to keep going, even though maybe there are some aspects of Tunic that are
I feel like more pointed. The loop of Dead Cells is significantly more addictive. It is more fast-paced, and I think it's just clearer as to what you need to do to enjoy the game. Where I feel like Tunic, there's a ton of enjoyment to be had, but it's a little bit more mysterious and contemplative, which I enjoy immensely. But I feel like the sugar rush that is Dead Cells, I think, edges it out for me in that area.
For sure. I as you were saying that, I think a good way to think about it is the carrot in front of you is right in front of your nose in Dead Cells. With Tunic, it's much further out. And that carrot might be a super interesting and really juicy thing to get to in Tunic, but it's not right in front of your face.
for sure.
Is there any areas, because I know you were really high on Tunic last week.
I stay high on Tunic. Tunic's sense of exploration. Tunic is by far is a slow burn. But that sense of wonder and curiosity and discovery, I feel like all hit on a higher level than it does in Dead Cells, which is not void in Dead Cells. There's different routes you can take. You get different orders of going through the levels. And you can be excited when you unlock something new. But I feel like it's all much more immediate. And once... You don't remember the story behind Dead Cells and the fact that of a run. A story of a run means nothing to you. It's just one of many to get you to the end.
Right.
The process of going through Tunic is a memorable, oh, I didn't understand it, and then this part clicked.
Yeah.
And, oh my, this game opened up, and I really enjoy that. And so I feel like in that regard, Tunic holds a higher place for me than Dead Cells.
So are you saying in that area or so in general? So if we're looking at our queue, which one would you give the edge, Tunic or Dead Cells? I know where I'm at.
I would lean towards Tunic, to be honest. I know that's not how you feel.
Yes, I definitely think that Dead Cells, I think it's better than Tunic. I also think that it's easier for someone to step in and be like, I really enjoy this game. I think that you used the word the slow burn, and I think that's a really good way to describe Tunic, where even if you're talking to your friend and you can either recommend Tunic to them or Dead Cells.
I think on my personal taste, Tunic is superior. I think on a recommendation for which game, if you're at a toss-up, Dead Cells probably has more to offer and more... I feel like there's less people who picked up Dead Cells and just didn't get it.
Right.
Where I think there's a decent number of people who could play Tunic and be like... Mm-hmm. Eh. I think it's a more divisive game, which is a higher high, but a much lower low for people. So I think based off of that, I can concede that on our ranking system that... Dead Cells can be higher than Tunic.
All right. So, Dead Cells has passed Tunic, but now we got to compare it to Celeste. So, any immediate comparisons that you want to make between Celeste and Dead Cells?
I think we said for both games that their controls feel tight.
Yes.
Which one do you personally enjoy better?
The controls?
Controls.
The controls, I think Celeste is much more satisfying, but it's probably because it's more limited in what you can do. It's so focused on the jump dash that they do it so well. Whereas in Dead Cells, just the movement, it feels really good, but it's not as like, ooh, you're not holding on to it like Celeste.
It's a little floatier. Rolls are a little less precise.
Yeah.
And then there's the different degrees of time, I mean, which makes sense for as far as speed of weapon attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you find your exact combo of weapons and upgrades, it can feel really good. But my problem with it is you're not guaranteed to find the weapon that you want in a run that you go on. And so if you're taking your time, a 30, 45-hour-long run with a weapon that just doesn't feel as good to you, or you're just not finding the ones that feels right, can be kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
In that regard, I definitely have to give Celeste the edge on just how the game feels to control.
Yeah. I think that Dead Cells probably has more replayability just because of the type of game that it is. You can definitely replay through Celeste, but the story is so amazing. And once you've gone through the story once... It's not going to... It doesn't have the same impact.
Which one do you think has a higher, like, the gameplay loop? You have the Celeste of this hard challenge that you go over and you're dying over and over again. You're restarting on exactly the point in the challenge where you couldn't complete it. You finally, yes, I passed this stage. Mm-hmm. I'm on to the next level. Or the more long form of... I'm fighting through this gauntlet of enemies, and then I die at the end, and I start mostly over. You know, it entices you. Okay, Can you have a better run? Which one do you find more satisfying?
I definitely find Celeste more satisfying in that it's much more bite-sized, and I think even the triumph of beating a screen on Celeste has more of that, especially with like the B-sides and the C-sides, like because they are so difficult, they're it's more localized, it's a smaller chunk, but it hits you just as hard as beating a whole run of Dead Cells, which takes way longer.
For sure. I would give control, Feel of Controls to Celeste. Narrative, hands down, is Celeste. Yeah. I prefer the gameplay loop. The only one I would give in Dead Cells' favor is that it has better replayability. And Celeste is no slouch of a game. Like, it's not some short, especially if you're playing the B-sides and the C-sides and the final levels. Like, that is a lot of game in that. And so, for me, it's hands down, Celeste stays at number one.
I think Celeste should stay at number one. And Dead Cells is our new number two on the queue. That was nice. I wonder how many more other times I'll be able to say the new number two on the queue. Anyways, we have our top three now. Celeste, Dead Cells, and then Tunic. All great games. All games that we would recommend. But that is our order.
So, tune in next week to see if our new challenger can take the number one spot, or if it will be the new number two on the queue.
All right.
Have a great one.
See you. Bye.